Oh my, it was prophesied in Isaiah. It was proclaimed by the angels. Jesus explained how it was going to happen, and then he did it. It is one of the most consistent stories ever told, is the gospel of peace.
Webcasting to the world.
Do you remember the moment that you saw yourself in God and God in you, and you were one with the universe and God and everybody?
Knowing the truth about the gospel.
You were one with the prostitutes and pimps and priests and kings, and there was nobody on earth that was better than you nor less than you.
That we are all righteous.
And no one on earth was any less in Christ than anyone else.
That's Mike Williams, and this is the Gospel Revolution.
Welcome to the Gospel Revolution Powercast. My name is Beris Bartlett, and I'll be your host tonight, coming from the studios of the Gospel Revolution right here in Nashville, Tennessee, Music City, USA. And here is the founder and the president from the Gospel Revolution headquarters in Houston, Texas, Michael Williams.
Hey, Beris, are you ready to do this again?
Hey yourself, mate. Yeah, I'm kind of ready. I'm thinking Happy Christmas ready. What is it in America? You start playing Christmas music from Thanksgiving or something. What is that? Is that your way of making up for something?
Oh, no. We start playing it right after Halloween.
And that's another thing I wanted to talk to you about, too.
Answer me this, if you will, please. I remember we did go through a phase to where that Christmas kept being for shopping purposes and sales and getting people to Christmas shop. Christmas music kept being moved up, and it literally started coming right after Halloween. And then there was people were just fed up with it, and I think there was so many complaints they did move it to where that it was a little bit later than Halloween anyway. So.
So whoever you are, wherever you are, happy Kwanzaa, happy Thanksgiving, happy Halloween, happy birthday, happy Christmas, and for the rest of us, Festivus, I guess. We want to welcome you to our little corner of the interweb where for the next 3 weeks we're going to be having a little Christmas special. This is the first of three Christmas pledge drive broadcasts we're doing, and we are going to be talking about the gospel of peace. We're going to be talking about what the angels really meant when they said, and on earth, peace. So welcome and enjoy the show. Now, I'm not forgetting last week, Michael, and you ain't going to trounce me again. So what? Cough it up and keep it short. What was the most interesting part of your week this week?
Well, it has been an interesting week, and I think the most interesting part has been that I've started writing again, and it feels really good. I don't understand about writing. It is a new thing for me. I guess I would have to say it is a progressive experience. As the years have gone by, I might get an inspiration to write something once a year. people would say, wow, that is really inspired. And then I would go a year without doing anything. And then it started becoming more frequent. Then it got to the point to where that I've started going on these 3 month jags of writing with a complete shutdown after that. But it seems like that there is it's back again. It's like a ghost that comes and goes. So right now I'm going to enjoy it while it's here. But that's been the best thing that's happened to me this week.
Gee, mate, you'll be churning out penny dreadfuls by the bucketful before we know it. So do you write with a typewriter or pen and paper or computer? How do you do it?
I write on my computer. Thank goodness that all of the difficulty of writing has been taken away, all the complications and obstacles to doing it. Believe me, if I wrote it down with pen or pencil, I would go back and read it and try to figure out what in the world I had written, because my handwriting is not that good.
So when can we expect this next tome?
Well, we'll be posting one today, actually. By the time the PowerCast comes out, you should be able to go online and see one that I wrote. There is another one that is in process. I don't know how long it's going to take, but if the inspiration remains, maybe it won't take very long. I am writing right now the 95 Theses of the Gospel Revolution.
Get out of here. Now, you want to be Martin Luther, right?
I'm a bit inspired by the fact that this very decade is 500 years since the beginning of the Reformation. It will be 2017 will be the year in which Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to the door of the Catholic Church. So 500 years since this. And looking back at it and studying it a bit, I realized there were many more reformers. Goodness, a lot of countries had their own reformers. It seemed to be a wave that kind of hit all at the same time. So we are grateful for any progress that they brought to us. I think after 500 years, it's time for another.
Did you read what Jeff Robertson wrote on Facebook this week? He was writing about, well, actually it was in the video. It wasn't actually writing. I was the one who was writing something about it. And he apparently went to a school called Our Lady of Peace. Is that what, can you shed some light on that for me?
Our Lady of Peace?
Yeah, apparently it was Our Lady of Peace.
Now, well, that sounds like my translation of the Christmas carol. I remember hearing Silent Night, and one line in it says, "Sleep in heavenly peace." And I'm telling you, until my teenage years at least, and probably embarrassingly longer than that, I wondered what in the world heavenly peas were.
Were you off your medication at the time?
You know, looked at store brands and everything. I thought, what are heavenly peas?
Heavenly peas. Well, maybe you've uncovered the secret, mate. This peas. So that would make this the Gospel of Peas.
Yes, the Gospel of Peas.
I see. Well, tonight, Michael, we're going to take a little break from the book. We only have one chapter left in the book, and we're going to take a little break from that just to keep everyone on their toes, and we're going to switch. Do you want to tell the folks what we're switching to tonight?
We're switching to not only tonight, but also for the next 2 weeks before Christmas. I am so excited about Christmas. I love Christmas. I love the atmosphere. I love the music. I love the decorations. And especially I love walking into a department store and hearing the gospel through many of these Christmas songs, more gospel in many of the Christmas songs than is heard from pulpits, actually, in teaching and preaching. We've touched on this, but I want to touch on it again as we proceed in this, because it is so vitally important. And that is the announcement of the angels. If you start looking at tradition, there's many things that fall apart really quickly. It's commonly reported that the angels were singing. There is no record of the angels singing. However, the Christmas story got turned into these singing angels. The angels came and had something to proclaim, not singing. So we've debunked one thing about the angels about Christmas and that they didn't come singing, they came proclaiming. And we also need to relentlessly go into the actual statement that the angels made to the shepherds at that time.
Okay, now I know this one. This one I know I can get right. This is peace on earth and goodwill to men.
And wrong again, Barris.
You like doing that, don't you?
I really do. I don't know why.
You got a mean streak, you do, Mr. Williams.
However,
well, I can tell you one thing. That's at least the Hallmark gospel. I mean, I've read it in so many Christmas cards. I know it's the gospel. Peace on earth, goodwill to men.
Yes. And thank you for the lead in. That is exactly what we want to address, is what the angels said. One of the other points that has been debunked is that this could not have possibly taken place in December because of shepherds being out in their field with their flocks. From what I understand, that doesn't happen in the wintertime. So when you approach these traditions, it is difficult to approach them because most people think that you are attacking the celebration. Believe me, I am not attacking the celebration at all. I love Christmas, and Christmas season for me is one of the most delightful times of the year. Believe me, I love Christmas. Send me presents. It is a joyous time for me, I hope for everyone. And I do acknowledge the hijacking of a pagan holiday by Christianity to try to enforce conversion upon the pagan community and dissolve their celebrations. That is another point about the celebration of Christmas and its time of the year, is that it is actually a pagan holiday. I don't care that they hijacked a pagan holiday. I don't care that it really was not in December. These points are irrelevant to me. I love Christmas because of this infusion of gospel into the airwaves. But the point that must be acknowledged and corrected, as you call it, the Hallmark gospel, and that is peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And Barris, it is a fact. That is not what the angels said. When the angels came, it's funny to me because I like picturing this because it says, first off, that there were angels that showed up. And then after they proclaimed, and on earth, peace and goodwill toward men, it says, then a host of angels showed up. Now, I like stories, so I kind of play it out in my head that these angels decided that they were so excited about getting to go make this proclamation that there was a few rogue angels that just took off, and they wanted to beat everybody else there to be able to, you know, it's like a bunch of kids that they want to be there to tell mom or tell dad the story first. And so I see these couple of angels showing up and saying, hey there, yeah, we got good news. This is glad tidings that will be unto all men and on earth, peace and goodwill toward men. And they got it out, and vroom, here comes the rest of the angels up behind, you know. So
is this how you used to amuse yourself in Sunday school?
My story, and I'm sticking to it, okay? That's what happened on Christmas Day. It was like a very Christmas story in and of itself, was this excitement and this joy that was so great that I think the angels may have been in a race with each other to arrive to declare this most magnificent and joyful news, which shall be unto the whole world, unto all mankind, as the angels said it. Now, we know who it's to. He said it was for all mankind. If these angels were speaking about peace between men, I'm telling you, they introduced us to joy about peace way too soon. It's been over 2,000 years now since they made their proclamation. Their message was not peace on earth. What a cruel thing to do, to come and make such a grand announcement that obviously if they were talking about peace on earth between men, they were either wrong or cruel for introducing the news way too soon, giving hope that there was going to be peace on this earth. But that's not what the angels said. The angels said, and on earth, peace and goodwill toward man. He didn't say peace on earth. He said on earth. The condition on earth will be this. Peace and goodwill will be toward men. Now, it didn't say between men. It said toward. They're making this announcement from heaven. It is an announcement from God to man that a declaration of peace is about to happen, that the one who is going to bring about this incredible peace declaration between God and man has now been born on this earth. You might say, well, why did they go ahead and get so excited just at his birth? Because once he was born in the condition that he was born in, without sin, without the seed of Adam, the deal was already done. I mean, this is a moment that is just beyond parallel in any story, because this story, by virtue of the fact of the virgin birth, whether you believe that is mythological or historical fact, it's part of the story. To remove it is to destroy the entire story. This birth without the seed of Adam was inevitably going to lead to this gospel of peace being declared.
What you're saying sounds a lot like, I mean, do you ever get it far away, Michael, from the gospel of peace?
Do I ever get far away from the gospel of peace?
Yep, it sounds a lot like the gospel of peace to me, what you're talking about.
Oh, my. It was prophesied in Isaiah. It was proclaimed by the angels. Jesus explained how it was going to happen, and then he did it. It is one of the most consistent stories ever told, is the gospel of peace. And my entrance into understanding the gospel was through the gospel of peace. I did not understand grace. I did not understand the issues of righteousness and sin and all of the wonderful things that we now talk about and teach and talk freely and openly about, and they are a part of the public debate. They only began to be a part of the public debate about 20 years ago, and especially 15 years ago, they began to be a part of the public debate. The gospel is thrilling to me. In the process of this, Barris, and I know that I'm speaking to hearts that certainly have had the same experience that I have with this, and that is that it thrills me on a daily basis. It is enlightening on a daily basis. It brings peace of mind on a daily basis. It causes me to see myself differently than I ever did before, and it causes me to see others differently than I ever did before, and both to a much more satisfying and a much more gratifying place. This is the gospel, and this cornerstone of this gospel is this gospel of peace. And as I said, it was first prophesied by Isaiah. There's many prophecies about it, but Isaiah actually covered it in quite a great bit of detail.
Gospel Revolution.
Hey, Michael, guess what time of year it is?
Christmas.
Yeah, and Christmas we get presents. And we're asking for presents today. Yes, we are, family. This is the beginning of our... Is this a winter pledge drive?
This is the winter pledge drive. Yes, it is.
Why don't we call it our Christmas pledge drive so we can keep getting presents and calling it present time for us? Okay, folks, so here's how this is going to go down. If you send us your pledge for $1,000, I don't mean just a pledge. I mean, you got to send it to us. We have to have it in our hands. We're going to pray for you, and that wart on your little finger is going to magically disappear. Yes, praise God. Michael, did you want to chime in on this?
Yes, don't forget the prayer cloths. We will be sending out one-inch squares of silk material that I myself have wept over, and my tears have fallen on, and my hands have laid upon. I even covered myself in them and slept with them overnight. So I know that the anointing is upon these cloths, and the moment, but now your $1,000 has to come in first.
Yes.
Send back to you this 1-inch square. We cut them all up just for you. Just for you, we cut them all up, and we put them in 1-inch squares, so that not just one person could benefit from this powerful anointing from my body personally, but that it could be applied to so many. Isn't that so much like Jesus?
Oh, I thought I was hearing him there just for a moment, Michael. It was you. Yes, that's exactly what we're going to do. You're going to get a little plastic Jesus to sit on the dashboard of your car. Or for people who give over $5,000, we're going to give you the whole Holy Family phosphorescent green. It's going to sit on top of your television. And there's nothing nicer than when you're watching TBN to see that Holy Family smiling back at you. Brothers and sisters, now's the time to give. Tell us about Pledge Drive, Michael.
Oh, Pledge Drive is that time, which we do once a quarter, and we take very little time to even make mention of it. And this has fallen on the Christmas season. I think it's a good thing because everybody knows this is a real family indeed. And in the process of your considering your finances and what gifts you're going to give, we're just asking that you remember the Gospel Revolution. Our goal is to raise $10,000. It is all spoken for, believe me. We're also hoping to raise $300 in monthly contributions so that our monthly income can go up by $300. We have the outreach in Kenya that is just desperately in need of our support. So much is being done, and so much more can be done, but we need more funds. Now, let me also tell you this. If we raise this $10,000, if we are able to accomplish this goal, and I'm telling you, we need a drum roll, we need the sound of a trumpet, this will be, well, we get the ringing of a phone. How about that? This year, Barris, will be our best year in almost 15 years.
Wow. Wow.
I was talking with Jeff the other day as we were planning this pledge drive, and we were just talking about the ministry's finances and stuff. And I told him, I said, well, one thing that I know for sure is that the folks who do support this, and anyone who takes a look at this, knows that we do all that we can with every amount that comes in. This year, we're out of debt, Barris. Oh my gosh. I never declared bankruptcy. Not that that is anything wrong with that. It is one of our laws, and you should take advantage of it. But we never declared bankruptcy on the debts on these cards. And for those of you that wonder how in the world we ran up debt, it was as the I was beginning to preach the gospel, and I was being invited by, in many cases, some of these very large churches. And the way we handled it then is I would, because the ministry had money, I would buy my ticket, I would pay for my room, I would pay for my meals, and then I would get an offering check and a reimbursement check for my expenses. The times that I paid these expenses and then showed up and was invited to leave, was told to pack my tapes from the tape table. People were barred from walking into the entryway until I had my tapes packed out of the area. I was sent packing myself, and the expenses were not covered. This happened time after time after time as decline began to take place, and I wanted to keep going. So I kept funding myself to go to these places. So it racked up a debt that this year has been paid in full.
Now, when did that start, Michael? How long ago?
That started, it started, oh my gosh, more than 15 years ago.
So there you were, the latest and greatest, the poster boy of the new grace movement, the finest expositor of grace that Christianity at the time could find, and they wined you and dined you, celebrated and feted you, and the moment you started to preach real grace, grace that supplanted the law, particularly that law about tithing, I guess, the one that oils the vast machine of Christendom, they suddenly dropped you, and those debts that they had incurred, they simply called them yours. Anyone with a modicum of integrity would have to be a little bit shamefaced. What is it about Christianity that has no shame at all about this sort of thing? It's incredible. And you've been paying this down for 15 years out of your own pocket.
Yes, a lot of it came out of my own pocket because for much of the time, I wasn't getting any salary whatsoever from the ministry. There were times that I would draw a check or a partial check simply because I was hungry. So we're in a different world right now financially, Barris, and you guys have made this so easy for me to do. And my gratitude to you is limitless. You have truly, truly enabled us to reach out. You have enabled us to reach into Kenya. You have made it possible for Kenya to reach out to Uganda, for all of Kenya to reach out to other countries in that area, to all the cities of Kenya. And these radio shows, which right now have been discontinued because of a lack of funds, we've got to get these radio shows back up and on the air. They are broadcast throughout the nation of Kenya, and it also goes into the southeastern part of Uganda. There are things happening in these parts of the world that this gospel has the answer for. We have Muslims embracing the gospel one right after the other. As Moses, through his gentleness and his absolute dedication to getting this gospel out, then puts himself in a position to offer assistance in understanding this. And I'm getting pictures with Moses with these guys in their Muslim garb, and they are going back and telling their Muslim friend that this is not Christianity, this is the gospel, and we are all one. You made that happen. The folks that support what we do, you made that happen. You made that happen. It doesn't make any difference what comes out of my mouth if there isn't a financial base there to help us get it into other parts of the world and to support other people who are saying it. That's the goal that Mike Williams Ministry has. We're not going to grow up. We're not going to build this ministry up. It is going to be built out. We have no need to control what's happening in Kenya. We have no need to control what's happening in the outreaches of people in the gospel revolution around the world. But we do want to support them in every way possible. I want to be able to hand them the means that is beyond their means to be able to reach out. The book is out there. Most all of you have read it. We've gotten incredible reviews back from it. You guys made that possible. You committed yourself to making this work. You know beyond the shadow of a doubt that if you give something to this ministry, it is not going to invoke a spiritual response from God and your needs are going to be met. You are meeting the needs of the ministry, and you do that out of your abundance. You don't do this out of your poverty. You do this out of your abundance. So we're grateful for what has been done. And let's wrap this year up and make it the best year we have had in 15 years.
So when we invite you to join us, we're inviting you to join us in doing exactly what we're doing, which is sowing our lives and our substance into getting the truth of this gospel into people's hands so that they can daily become saved, so they can daily become the recipients of the knowledge of the truth. There's nobody here getting rich out of preaching this gospel, I can promise you that. When we left Christianity, what we left behind us were also all of those tools of manipulation to try and separate a fool and their money. People here who are working in the organization are sowing their lives into getting this gospel into the hands of people who are hungry and thirsty for truth. And every penny that you donate to this cause will be achieving exactly that end. Plenty of people out there getting rich out of religion. Even Paul said that it worked for him pretty well in that respect. Michael, you're living in palatial splendor there, I understand. $3 million jacuzzis and heated indoor swimming pools. How's that going for you?
Not quite. I live in a 1,800 square foot home here in Houston. I love my home, and many of you have visited my home.
You got 53 rooms there and 110 toilets, do you? Now, we've all heard of organizations that take donations and so many cents out of every dollar actually reach the ground for which it was intended. I want to assure everybody, as a member of staff with the Gospel Revolution, working with Michael and Jeff and Hazel, that nobody here is, any single one of us would make very much more than we make here by working with outside organizations, and we have. We just simply choose to be associated with Michael because we really love what he's doing. We love what you guys are doing. We love what the Gospel Revolution is doing. We love getting this story out. I often wonder about Hazel. She does most of the administration, bookkeeping and that, doesn't she, Michael?
Yes, she does. She runs the office, and she is relentless.
Well, Michael, every time I call you, and for those of you in the family who would like to know what it's like when we do this studio hookup between Houston and Nashville, here's what it's like. I'm sitting in my office, which is really just the third bedroom of our house and a rented premises, and I'm looking into Mike's bedroom, which is where he – I mean, it's gorgeous. It's full of light. And Michael, and that's, we're just talking on two computers. So, and then you've got Jeff over there who every time you call him answers or calls you back. Up north we have Hazel, and she is so faithful. I don't know how she does it, but all the letters go out at the same time. The bills get paid at the right time. And just the general office management is a lot of the glue that holds this whole thing together. But you've got four people here, and we're pretty much just doing this with what we have. And Michael's heart is, listen, if we get any extra, we're going to bless other people with it. We are going to, and here is really the core of what Michael does. We want to get the word out. That's the one thing that unifies the four of us, between Hazel, Jeff, myself, and Michael. You're looking at four people whose major goal is just to get this gospel out. The more that this gospel can get out, the freer people are going to be. The freer people are going to be. Who knows what this planet could look like when it's been smothered and covered by this gospel. So I want to encourage you. Pledge Drive is going for 3 weeks now. And Jeff is sitting on the end of his phone waiting for your call. How do people make a pledge, Michael?
The easiest way is to call Jeff and use your credit card or your debit card and make that contribution. That way, we are able to access the funds immediately. If you want to send in a check, the first thing to do again is call Jeff, because we want to keep a running total of what's happening.
Where do we get Jeff's number from, Michael?
We get Jeff's number from you.
You mongrel.
Didn't I?
I like that. That's good. So before we go any further, here is that telephone number. Within the United States, call 352-569-4889. That is 352 area code. The phone number is 569-4889. Call that number right now. Call Jeff and make his day. Make any pledge of any size. Remember, there is no such thing as a pledge that is too small or a donation that is too insignificant. And the number there is 352 569-4889.
So yes, if you want to send a check, let us know. Call Jeff. You can call me if you like. It doesn't make any difference. If you want to call and make a contribution, you can call me here at the house. I can do it. Jeff can do it. Hazel also, you may not be able to get in contact with her except at certain times. So any way that you want to do it is quite all right. The most important thing is that you inform us that you are doing it. We really would like to be able to get these monthly contributions up another $300 a month. It would put us in a, it would put us in a really great position. That is the $300 actually that we're still trying to make up. We made up a great deal of the loss of our income from Richard Mull passing. Our last pledge drive was solely to try to replace what he was giving on a regular basis. And this $300 is still us trying to recoup what this man did, not just on a monthly basis, but continually. So if you want to step up and stand in for this magnificent man who has plowed the way through with me for almost 20 years in trying to get this gospel out, if you'd like to do that in just in honor of him, my gosh, what a wonderful thing to do for Christmas. Please remember that a small gift is not a small gift. All gifts are absolutely appreciated, and we thank you guys for it so very much.
Listen in your office, in your car, or even your neighborhood bar. You can listen with your whole family.
Now, I'm not forgetting last week, Michael, and you ain't going to trounce me again. So what, cough it up and keep it short. What was the most interesting part of your week this week?
Well, it has been an interesting week, and I think the most interesting part has been that I've started writing again, and it feels really good. I don't understand about writing. It is a new thing for me. I guess I would have to say it is a progressive experience. As the years have gone by, I might get an inspiration to write something once a year. People would say, wow, that is really inspired. And then I would go a year without doing anything. And then it started becoming more frequent. Then it got to the point where that I've started going on these 3 month jags of writing with a complete shutdown after that. But it seems like that it's back again. It's like a ghost that comes and goes. So right now I'm going to enjoy it while it's here. But that's been the best thing that's happened to me this week.
Gee, mate, you'll be churning out penny dreadfuls by the bucketful before we know it. So do you write with a typewriter or pen and paper or computer? How do you do it?
I write on my computer. Thank goodness that all of the difficulty of writing has been taken away, all the complications and obstacles to doing it. Believe me, if I wrote it down with pen or pencil, I would go back and read it and try to figure out what in the world I had written, because my handwriting is not that good.
So when can we expect this next tome?
Well, we'll be posting one today, actually. By the time the PowerCast comes out, you should be able to go online and see one that I wrote. There is another one that is in process. I don't know how long it's going to take, but if the inspiration remains, maybe it won't take very long. I am writing right now the 95 Theses of the Gospel Revolution.
Get out of here. You want to be Martin Luther, right?
I'm a bit inspired by the fact that this very decade is 500 years since the beginning of the Reformation. It will be 2017 will be the year in which Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to the door of the Catholic Church. So 500 years since this, And looking back at it and studying it a bit, I realized there were many more reformers. Goodness, a lot of countries had their own reformers. It seemed to be a wave that kind of hit all at the same time. So we are grateful for any progress that they brought to us. I think after 500 years, it's time for another.
Did you read what Jeff Robertson wrote on Facebook this week? He was writing about, well, actually it was in the video. It wasn't actually writing. I was the one who was writing something about it. And he apparently went to a school called Our Lady of Pease. Is that what, can you shed some light on that for me?
Our Lady of Pease?
Yeah, apparently it was Our Lady of Pease.
Now, well, that sounds like my translation of the Christmas carol. I remember hearing Silent Night, and one line in it says, "Sleep in heavenly peace." And I'm telling you, until my teenage years at least, and probably embarrassingly longer than that, I wondered what in the world heavenly peas were.
Were you off your medication at the time?
You know, looked at store brands and everything. I thought, what are heavenly peas?
Heavenly peas. Well, maybe you've uncovered the secret, mate. This peas. So that would make this the gospel of peas.
Yes, the gospel of peas.
I see. Well, tonight, Michael, we're going to take a little break from the book. We only have one chapter left in the book, and we're going to take a little break from that just to keep everyone on their toes, and we're going to switch. Do you want to tell the folks what we're switching to tonight?
We're switching to not only tonight, but also for the next 2 weeks before Christmas. I am so excited about Christmas. I love Christmas. I love the atmosphere. I love the music. I love the decorations. And especially I love walking into a department store and hearing the gospel through many of these Christmas songs, more gospel in many of the Christmas songs than is heard from pulpits, actually, and teaching and preaching. We've touched on this, but I want to touch on it again as we proceed in this because it is so vitally important. And that is the announcement of the angels. If you start looking at tradition, there's many things that fall apart really quickly. It's commonly reported that the angels were singing. There is no record of the angels singing. However, the Christmas story got turned into these singing angels. The angels came and had something to proclaim, not singing. So we've debunked one thing about the angels about Christmas and that they didn't come singing, they came proclaiming. And we also need to relentlessly go into the actual statement that the angels made to the shepherds at that time.
Okay, now I know this one. This one I know I can get right. This is peace on earth and goodwill to men.
And wrong again, Barris.
You like doing that, don't you?
I really do. I don't know why.
You got a mean streak, you do, Mr. Williams.
However,
I can tell you one thing. That's at least the Hallmark gospel. I mean, I've read it in so many Christmas cards. I know it's the gospel. Peace on earth, goodwill to men.
Yes. And thank you for the lead in. That is exactly what we want to address. Is what the angels said. One of the other points that has been debunked is that this could not have possibly taken place in December because of shepherds being out in their field with their flocks. From what I understand, that doesn't happen in the wintertime. So when you approach these traditions, it is difficult to approach them because most people think that you are attacking the celebration. Believe me, I am not attacking the celebration at all. I love Christmas, and Christmas season for me is one of the most delightful times of the year. Believe me, I love Christmas. Send me presents. It is a joyous time for me, and I hope for everyone. And I do acknowledge the hijacking of a pagan holiday by Christianity to try to enforce conversion upon the pagan community and dissolve their celebrations. That is another point about the celebration of Christmas and its time of the year, is that it is actually a pagan holiday. I don't care that they hijacked a pagan holiday. I don't care that it really was not in December. These points are irrelevant to me. I love Christmas because of this infusion of gospel into the airwaves. But the point that must be acknowledged and corrected, as you call it, the hallmark gospel, and that is peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And Barris, it is a fact. That is not what the angels said. When the angels came, it's funny to me because I like picturing this, because it says, first off, that there were angels that showed up. And then after they proclaimed, and on earth, peace and goodwill toward men, it says, then a host of angels showed up. Now, I like stories, so I kind of play it out in my head that these angels decided that they were so excited about getting to go make this proclamation that there was a few rogue angels that just took off, and they wanted to beat everybody else there to be able to, you know, it's like a bunch of kids that they want to be there to tell mom or tell dad the story first. And so I see these couple of angels showing up and saying, hey there. Yeah, we got good news. This is glad tidings that will be unto all men and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. And they got it out, and vroom, here comes the rest of the angels up behind, you know. So
is this how you used to amuse yourself in Sunday school?
My story, and I'm sticking to it, okay? That's what happened on Christmas Day. It was like a very Christmas story in and of itself, was this excitement and this joy that was so great that I think the angels may have been in a race with each other to arrive to declare this most magnificent and joyful news, which shall be unto the whole world, unto all mankind, as the angels said it. Now, we know who it's to. He said it was for all mankind. If these angels were speaking about peace between men, I'm telling you, they introduced us to joy about peace way too soon. It's been over 2,000 years now since they made their proclamation. Their message was not peace on earth. What a cruel thing to do. To come and make such a grand announcement that, obviously, if they were talking about peace on earth between men, they were either wrong or cruel for introducing the news way too soon, giving hope that there was going to be peace on this earth. But that's not what the angels said. The angels said, and on earth, peace and goodwill toward man. He didn't say peace on earth. He said on earth. The condition on earth will be this: peace and goodwill will be toward men. Now, it didn't say between men, it said toward. They're making this announcement from heaven. It is an announcement from God to man that a declaration of peace is about to happen, that the one who is going to bring about this incredible peace declaration between God and man has now been born on this earth. You might say, well, why did they go ahead and get so excited just at his birth? Because once he was born in the condition that he was born in, without sin, without the seed of Adam, the deal was already done. I mean, this is a moment that is just beyond parallel in any story, because this story, by virtue of the fact of the virgin birth, whether you believe that is mythological or historical fact, it's part of the story. To remove it is to destroy the entire story. This birth without the seed of Adam was inevitably going to lead to this gospel of peace being declared.
What you're saying sounds a lot like, I mean, do you ever get far away, Michael, from the gospel of peace?
do I ever get far away from the gospel of peace?
Yep, it sounds a lot like the gospel of peace to me, what you're talking about.
Oh, my. It was prophesied in Isaiah. It was proclaimed by the angels. Jesus explained how it was going to happen, and then he did it. It is one of the most consistent stories ever told, is the gospel of peace. And my entrance into understanding the gospel was through the gospel of peace. I did not understand grace. I did not understand the issues of righteousness and sin and all of the wonderful things that we now talk about and teach and talk freely and openly about, and they are a part of the public debate. They only began to be a part of the public debate about 20 years ago, and especially 15 years ago, they began to be a part of the public debate. The gospel is thrilling to me. In the process of this, Barris, and I know that I'm speaking to hearts that certainly have had the same experience that I have with this, and that is that it thrills me on a daily basis. It is enlightening on a daily basis. It brings peace of mind on a daily basis. It causes me to see myself differently than I ever did before, and it causes me to see others differently than I ever did before, and both to a much more satisfying and a much more gratifying place. This is the gospel, and this cornerstone of this gospel is this gospel of peace. And as I said, it was first prophesied by Isaiah. There's many prophecies about it, but Isaiah actually covered it in quite a great bit of detail.
Gospel Revolution.
So, Michael, when Jesus said, "Judge not according to the appearance, but judge a righteous judgment," I think that was along about John 7 somewhere. Is that what he was talking about?
Yes, I think he was talking about the judgment that would be done in righteousness. And this is the judgment that God himself is now satisfied with. The book of John is very interesting on this point of judgment. John 3:16, of course, most people only know John 3:16, but verse 17 says, "For God sent not his son into the world to condemn or judge the world, but that the world through him might be saved." All right. So the first thing that we find out is that Jesus did not come to judge the world. However, ironically, in John chapter 9, verse 39, it says, "And Jesus said, for judgment I am come into the world." So, many years ago, as I was reading this, I was trying to conceive things in context, I thought, well, how odd. God didn't send him to judge, but he's here for judgment. God didn't send him to judge, but he's here for judgment. Now, that has to be something that begins to open our eyes. We have two points here in the book of John. One says God didn't send him to judge. One says he's here for judgment. The clarification of this comes in John chapter 12, verse 31. "Now is the judgment of this world. He did not come to judge the world, but he's here for judgment." And he says, now is that judgment. He was getting ready to go to the cross. That's the context of this as you read through verse 33. "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all italicized men unto me." The word men there is italicized. That did give us a partial understanding because it does have the connotation that includes drawing all men. But you see, it narrowed our understanding because if you leave it out, it not only includes men, that he would draw all men unto him, but it also includes that he would draw all judgment unto him. So this is for judgment for men that he came. So by him drawing all judgment to himself, he drew all men unto himself, because all judgment had been satisfied in his body, and all he drew all men unto himself. I think Colossians bears this out very clearly about how that these two things actually happen synonymously, the judgment of the world and him drawing all men unto himself as he went to the cross, as he gathered all Jew and Gentile into himself, that he might make of the two one new man. So all of this judgment, all of this drawing together of the human race into one body is spoken of also. So we've gone through what the angels said as we wrap this up today. We've gone through what the angels said. The angels were excited about on earth peace and goodwill toward men. We went back to where the angels must have been referring to in Isaiah, and we saw that God was going to declare peace, an irrevocable peace, one that could never even leave the face of this earth. It's just not going to happen. And as you brought out, as long as mountains are still a part of the planet, if you see a mountain, you've got to understand that God's at peace with you. I think if you see a cross, if you're going to get anything out of it, know that God's at peace with the entire planet. Then we go to the book of John, and we extract from that. We teach this in pretty much all in context in the Mystery of Unbelief series, which you'd find very interesting. But then we went through this trilogy, if you will, of Jesus's comments about judgment. God didn't send him to judge. He's here for judgment. And right before he went to the cross, he said, now is the judgment of this world. This is an airtight argument. There is no ambiguity about who it's for, who it affects, how deeply it affects this planet at all. There is none. It just does not exist. The confusion about this comes because of the ridiculous statement that God would never violate man's will. God has so violated our will. Oh, my goodness. Thank God he left us out so that he could include us all.
When you're feeling down or you got the case of the blues, why don't you listen to the Gospel Revolution?
Gospel Revolution.
Mike, I just got word from Jeff. Here are the people who have already kicked off, and we've had a terrific start. Here are the people who've already kicked off our pledge drive. We have Rhonda Leeske from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Robert Vacanti from Otter Tail, Minnesota. You know, guys, I can't even pronounce the places here right. So if I get your name wrong, I'll tell you what, for every name I get wrong, I'll donate $100 to the cause, okay? So $100 out of my pocket for every name I get wrong. But the only trick is you got to call me and tell me I got it wrong, okay? All right. Beverly Galuska of Allen Park, Michigan. Randy Johnson from Charlotte, North Carolina. Gene and Cookie Davy Duck. I love that name, Cookie. I remember hearing you call into one of our shows earlier, and I love the name. Gene and Cookie Davy Duck from Castor, Alberta. Betty Cochran from Atoka, Oklahoma. The inimitable and always evergreen pastors Ted and Pat Winsett from Decatur, Alabama. Wayne Jensen from Bingham Lake, Minnesota. Kerry and Rita Waitman from Whitehall, Montana. Brad and Holly Wilson from Santan Valley. Santan Valley? Come on, that's not a real place, is it? Out in Arizona. Tom and Linda Wilby from Fredericton, New Brunswick. Billy Thompson from that place, city in Arizona. It's written like the dog at Chihuahua, Waha. And this is Hachuko. Billy Thompson from Arizona. Jerry and Susan Berman from Longwood, Florida. Thomas Tonsky, our Facebook friend from Canton, Ohio, up near where my wife comes from in Lima. George Nadja from Strongsville, Ohio.
and Dale Van Sickle from Clyde, North Carolina. Wow, what a good start we've had, Mike. This is fantastic. Now, when Jeff was chatting with me, he was mentioning that we could really use some frequent flyer points. Now, by now, many of you will be aware that Michael is having meetings in Calgary, Alberta, Canada in January. So that's just a month away. He comes from Houston. That's where he lives. And he'll be traveling from Houston to Calgary, Alberta. These are two oil towns, apparently, Houston and Calgary. And the air companies know exactly how far they can gouge people. For Jeff to go from Florida to Calgary, $300. For Michael to go from Houston, pretty well the same distance, to Calgary, $1,000. In fact, it's cheaper for Michael to go to Calgary from Houston via Hawaii than it is to fly direct. Go figure. So if you have any frequent flyer points, this is another way that you can really generously and usefully donate to the cause. Simply contact Jeff and he will tell you how you are able to arrange to donate those frequent flyer points to the Gospel Revolution. And right now, let me remind you of the number to call to make a pledge or a donation to the Gospel Revolution. You would call area code 352. And the phone number is 569-4889, 569-4889, area code 352. Call Jeffrey and have a chat with him. Bend his ear. He's got nothing to do. He just waits around all day for your phone calls, particularly ones like this. So give him a buzz, won't you? So, Michael, a great start to our 2012 Christmas pledge drive. Fantastically generous people, these gospel revolutionaries. They're wonderful, just wonderful folks, aren't they?
Yes, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Oh, gosh. Thank you, guys. Again, I'm overwhelmed with what you do and who you are. Thank you so very much. You have taken the burden from my shoulders, that's for sure, and you continue to do so. We're going to do some great things this coming year. So let's close out this year in a real dynamic way. Thank you, guys, everyone, all of you that Barris just read out loud. Thank you so very much for your participation. And it does not go unnoticed. And we are filled with thanksgiving for your gifts.
Human race the right to choose. You were never meant to find the right path on your own. 'Cause I'm the truth and way, and I brought everybody home. So in matters of eternity, a heart and your heart so none would believe. And I blinded your eyes so you could not see all for the joy set before me. Condemning everyone so I could redeem all. I couldn't risk you spoiling the plan. Not when this global rescue mission rested on just one man. Bringing a punishment that no sin could avoid. And knowing all would be fulfilled when God's image was destroyed.
And so once again, family, it is that we must leave you. All rushes around far too fast. But we've sure enjoyed putting this podcast together. And I really enjoyed Michael's building that tapestry between Isaiah and John and the concept of judgment. And we are now married to our Maker, whose righteousness we stand in. That's just enormous, Michael.
It is enormous. And it is so revealing. It is conclusive. It's airtight. It's absolutely fantastic. And I appreciate the time, Barris, to be able to share this with the world. Thank you, Barris, so much for doing what you do. We honor you, we respect you, and we are so grateful that you have committed your time to do this.
And so from Nashville, Tennessee, USA, this is Barris Bartlett saying thank you for joining us and good night. And
it is good night here in Houston, this beautiful Houston, Texas, once again. I don't know why everybody doesn't move here. Thank you guys so much for listening in. It has been a blast. Thank you so much. Share this PowerCast with somebody else. It comes to you in a link. It's very easy just to pass that on to someone else. So love you.
7 days time, we'll be back. Same time, same channel, where we'll do the same thing, only
better.
Since that day, there's none accusing you. But the religion bearing my name is just so far from the truth. You are humanity that never was before. You are mankind that's never sinned, 'cause you've never been under the law. But Christianity lied to you, said you're justified by the things you do. It's saying there's a judgment coming soon, so it's judging the work of Calvary too. Saying my blood wasn't good enough, saying I'm coming back to clean up. Saying it's just like it was before, saying I didn't fulfill the law. Well, I got some very good news. The law and the Psalms and the prophets too, they speak about me, not about you. The things you've been told are just not true. Do you see now, is it starting to make sense? You've been taught you're a sinner when you've always been righteous. Oh, do you see now what the law was given for? Condemning everyone so I could redeem all.
One, two, three. Four, five, six. Oh, we count just like a pair of twins. Yes. People will not be able to tell the difference between us. Tweedledum. Tweedledee. You're trapping me into saying things you're going to play. I know what you're doing.
And even knowing, you still willingly play along with me.
I'm like a cat with a ball of string. Of course, now it's a laser light. I guess you have to update that information, don't you?
Not even as an outtake. Don't you dare.
Really? That's funny.
Judgment from God.
Freedom.